And it just makes some observations. And if you would, get on your feet. We'll read in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And this is not just making reference to the birth of the Lord Jesus or the birth of John the Baptist, but this is making a reference in the whole Gospel of Luke of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was conceived, how he came into the world, the life that he lived, the ministry, ultimately finishing on the cross, being buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven. And it is Luke who is bringing these truths together for our benefit, not just the Gospel of Luke, but I want to simply say the Gospels, all of the Gospels and the 66 books that we have before us in our hand. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. For as much many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, from the very first, to write unto thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have already heard in song. We thank you, Lord, the truths that were sung. We pray that you would cause us to stop and to evaluate. We pray that you would instruct us more. We thank you for what we know and what we understand. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray that it will be a sure foundation for this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This little oasis here in the middle of this nation of, what is it, 350 million people? Ask the masses what Christmas is all about. It is a matter of fact that we're working very hard in removing the word Christmas. We want to call it holidays or holiday season, but ask it. When you wade through the hype and the commercialization of Christmas to find out really what Christmas is all about, I want you to know there are very few places that you can actually go to and find out. Christmas to a lot of people are Santa Claus or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or a one-horse open sleigh, mistletoes and holidays and gifts and Christmas trees, parties and all kinds of things that are going on in our society. The other night we went to a school Christmas program and I was trying very hard to listen to and for the name of Peace on Earth, an explanation, Peace on Earth, or the name of Jesus, or something in that program that had to do with peace on earth, goodwill to men, God and sinners reconciled. I listened for any of that, but I heard everything else. Then in our society, that when you look at it, we have drifted and wandered. We're not even very close to. Even in churches, there are the Lord Jesus is, even in that, he's hardly central. We've got the hanging of the trees. We've got the Christmas tree. We've got Santa Claus. We've got all kinds of things, even during the Christmas, even in some churches, that where is the Lord Jesus at the heart of what Christmas is all about? As I was thinking about this morning in the little time that I would have, I was thinking how hard and how the world is very busy and about in removing Christ from Christmas. And they've done a good job, and I want to just simply say that yet even those that are working very hard, to erase, you see, Christ from Christmas, yet at the same time, they're taking advantage in their commercialization to take their goods and to try to sell them to people who are under the holiday umbrella. They're going to buy gifts and people are going to exchange without ever really recognizing and realize the Lord Jesus at the heart. And I was thinking that the birth of the Lord Jesus, the effect that it's had in our world in the last 2014 years, approximately. And even the lost world acknowledges the birth of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about billion times every day. Did you know that? Somebody writes an email to this one and somebody writes a letter to this one. There is a business transaction here to this one. There is a notary public that puts his stamp on it. And what else is mentioned in all of those communities? I mean, we're talking about around the globe as a general. I want you to know, what is it? Anno Domini, the date, the year of our Lord. And the whole world, in a sense, acknowledges the birth of the Lord Jesus in ways they don't even realize. And I'm really kind of wondering when we're going to come to the point where we need to say, or somebody will say, in order for us to be politically correct, let's change the calendar. What do you think? I don't think that's going to happen. And so I want you to know that even when we write our dates, every time you write a date, you're making a reference to the fact that's when we started our calendar, and that's when we acknowledge the fact of the birth of the Lord Jesus. I have been, for the last month, I have been in communication with a second cousin of mine in Germany. He's 22 years old, and I have been visiting with him over Skype on a weekly basis. While Frankie and I, we were in Germany this spring, we had met with this family, with my cousins, and we had talked about the things of the Lord. We talked about pastoring and the traditional church in Germany. And this young boy, 22-year-old boy, he has shown an interest. He had asked several questions about Christianity and in comparison with some of the other world religions and on and on and on. And so in the last few weeks, I've been, so we've actually bought them some Bibles, mailed it to him. And so while he's on the other side of, on the ocean, we're on Skype, I'm on this side. I have a Bible in front of me, which is just like his. And I can say to him, turn to page such and such. And so to page such and such, this last week, I read to him and I said, would you go to page such and such in Lukas Kapitel 1? And then he would say, ich hab's, I've got it. And then we read there in chapters 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He read that. I want you to know Germany is kind of like the United States. In many respects, maybe even more so in the Christmas thing is a huge, big thing in Germany. Christmas trees and I was telling our young people over there on Wednesday, the way that they still do that, and the way they done that with me was they would buy a Christmas tree. You guys like this idea. You wouldn't have to fool around with a Christmas tree for just a few days. But they bought a Christmas tree. We lived on the fifth floor. They opened up the window, and they hung out that Christmas tree until Christmas Eve. And the reason they hung it out the window, to keep it fresh. And so then on Christmas Eve, they told all of the children to disappear and to go play out in the streets, honestly. It didn't make any difference what weather it was, if it was snowing or raining or cold. It didn't make any difference. And so the kids, they would all go out, and I mean talking about pretty much everybody. They would go out, and then they'd bring the tree in. Then they would decorate that tree. Then they'd put all of the little garlands and stuff on it. Then they'd put live candles on it. Then it was dark. And when it was dark, then Mama would open up the window, and she would say, "Boo, boo." That was my name. That means little boy. And then the little boy would come, and I would run up and eagerly the fifth floor, and then I would stand in front of that. All we had was a two-room apartment. There was the kitchen, the bedroom, and the living room. And in front of that living room, the door was closed, and then the door was open. My grandmother, my grandfather, and me. That was it. They open up that door, and here is that Christmas tree standing there in the candlelight. And then, you know, you'd look under the tree and see if there was something under it. But then you would have to recite a poem or something that you learned in school that had to do with Christmas. Maybe you would sing a Leiset Riesel der Schnee. Or maybe you would even sing Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Or maybe something like that before you could even go on in that. And then the candles was blowed out. There were live candles, a real Christmas tree. And then, of course, the next day you had actually 2 days of Christmas. And then after that, the Christmas tree was dismantled and thrown out. We're talking about 3 days at the most, a Christmas tree in the house. You say, why are you saying all of that? I want you to know that even though we went through these mechanical things, and it was a mechanical things that was brought out through the history and the culture of Germany, our family, we had absolutely no idea of Christkindl, why this Christ child had come. And so the other day when I was finishing this reading that portion of scripture to Kai, or he was reading it to me, and then I said to him, I said, "Kai, are you and your family going to get together for Christmas?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, he's got twin sisters and his mom and other cousins and grandma and uncles and all of that. They're going to come together Christmas. And here is what I suggested for Kai to do." I said, "Kai, would you have courage?" Now think about it. How far we have drifted from the heart of Christmas, the declaration of the truth of the Word of God, which is plain and clear. And I mean, a nation that we're talking about on Christmas Eve in Germany, all of the church bells all across the country, they're all going to chime. And I asked Kai, who was baptized as an infant. He was confirmed at the age of 14 in the Lutheran Evangelical Church. He had Christian instruction in public school. And I said to Kai, I said, "Kai, would you have courage enough to take the scriptures and to read them to the family?" And he said, "Oh, Detlef. Oh, Detlef." You say, "Who's Detlef?" That's me.
He said, "Oh, Detlef, I don't know if I can do that or not." I said, "Kai, we have God's word, the Gospel of Luke, you see, and the other Gospels. We're talking about the New Testament, very plain and clear testimony in order for us to understand and to embrace the truths of the life, the birth, the conceiving, the birth and the life of the Lord Jesus, all that he done on this side, on the earth while he was here, in order for us to have a plain and clear understanding of that."
He said, "I don't know if I can read that." In other words, in his mind was, maybe a little bit too religious. Or maybe a little bit too, quote, spiritual, or a little bit, you know what I'm saying? In other words, and I said to him, "Kai, read it. Think about what, in this jungle that we are in, moms and dads, grandparents, let me tell you what we ought to do. We ought to read the gospel, the first three chapters of the Gospel of Luke in particularly, where Luke concentrates upon the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament that would come in Isaiah chapter 40. And you see, to make clear the path of him, the last of the prophets, but I want you to know the greatest of all of the prophets, and that Luke, he so concentrates upon, as he says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." I want you to know there is no gray area here. Amen. And that when you think that as in the Gospel of Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know it is fact, not fiction. We're not talking about Christianity and the birth of the Lord Jesus that stands alongside with the other world religions and so-called things. I want you to know it is fact. It is not fiction. It is not fairy tales, no dreams or visions. Eyewitnesses from the beginning. Amen. And when somebody asks us what Christmas is all about, we're not messing with Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Amen.
And we're not worried about drizzling snow, and we're not even worried about and concerned ourselves with Christmas trees or Santa Claus.
Amen.
I want you to know, to me it is an amazing thing for us to comprehend and to understand, and even though I want you to know I cannot wrap my mind around the fact God comes in the likeness of man. He who has eternity in his hands, he who reigns and rules over all, he comes in limitation, in the likeness of a servant, and he dwells among us.
Amen.
And he knows what it is to be weary.
Amen.
He knows what it is to be thirsty.
Amen.
And he knows what it is to be tired.
Amen.
And he knows what it is to be tempted. And he knows what it is to live a life of faith complete, in complete compliance, in perfection to his Holy Father. He came to do not his own will, but the will of him that sent him. I want you to know it is a mind-boggling thing, but yet it is true.
Amen.
Peter said in 2 Peter 1 verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty."
Amen.
And that's what Luke is doing here. Lots of people delivered them unto us. And so we find that he's very carefully paying attention to, as none of the other gospels do, to the birth of John the Baptist. And I mean, throughout those first three chapters,
What a great, great testimony of the fact.
In 1 John we read, "And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us."
Amen.
What do you think? The second thing that kind of stands out with me is this, is in these first four verses is verse 3, where it's, "And it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the first to write unto thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus." What do you think? Facts. To write them down in order. And of course, when you look at the whole book, that with the life of John the Baptist, he's talking about the conception and birth and ministry and baptism and the death of John the Baptist. But more than that, with all of that, it deals with the conception and birth and private and public life of Christ, together with his sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension. Why is he doing that? Well, I think in this portion of Scripture, in this chapter 1, he says in that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
Amen.
What do you think?
Amen.
I want you to know we're not walking around in the dark. We're talking about here, these things are plain and clear. And that there's no question mark. I want to say to Kai, read these first three chapters of the Gospel of Luke to your family, and they may think that you've lost your mind. You say, "What is Detlef in America doing to you?" Then read it and let that word speak for itself. What do you think? What did the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? "Well, Timothy, I don't know, and I'm not really sure." What did he say? "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day."
Amen.
When you hear verses of scriptures that when we find in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, it is not a question mark about it. We base that upon the scriptures, the holy word of God. It is not visions or dreams or this or that. Fact.
Amen.
"That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." What do you think? I was writing down a few notes that, as you all were singing, some of those key words that I just love that. I want you to know it's one of the things that I try to do. When I get mail from any kind of Christian organization, when I go to some kind of a activity or I hear some kind of a thing that is supposed to be connected with Christianity, let me tell you what I look for. I look for the name of Jesus to be mentioned frequently. Another thing that I look for is that the word is sin mentioned. I had Frankie the other day. I said, "I want you to look over this list, our prayer list of the Lottie Moon offering." And I said, "Find me the connection of sin, salvation, and the Savior's and grace and faith. And I want you to underline it and give it back to me." I had read it myself, but I gave it to her. She's good at that. She's one of these proofreaders. What does that mean to us? When I think about when those things that we were singing, Christ was born to save us from our sins. Jesus, the Son of God by name, I bring you good tidings and comfort. The King is born. God is not dead, but he's not asleep. When I think about that, glory to God, newborn King, God and sinners reconciled, good news. I want to say, what does that mean to us here? I know we had 102 in Sunday school, but there's more than that in here this morning. What does Christmas mean to you? Well, it means that I've got to get that perfect gift for that perfect person. What does Christmas mean to you? We were singing a little while ago that you were singing a little while ago, and there is room in my heart for you, is there? Theologically, when you get right down to it, I want you to know, because of sin, our eyes are blinded to the reality why God became man. The world works very hard in taking that which Christianity is celebrating and glorying about, the birth of the Lord Jesus, and they're trying to turn it into some commercial endeavor. And yet at the same time, I want you to know it is by the grace of God that we come and recognize and say and see that, you know what, I do have a problem with sin.
Amen.
As many as are here this morning, young and old alike, I wonder, do you have in your heart and your mind that testimony, that line, God and sinners reconciled? Peace on earth, goodwill to men? And what does that mean? Does that mean that my sins have been dealt with? The Lord Jesus, you see, the God-man, as he comes and he's born in a manger in a stall in Bethlehem. But folks, that was not all. The life that he lived, that perfect life, and it ends up on Calvary's cross, and it looks like that the world is just taking him and say, get rid of him, crucify him. But you see, when you read the scriptures, there was a transaction that took place that the human eye could not see nor perceive or understand. It was God doing business with his son in order that the world would be reconciled to him.
Amen.
You see, outside of Christ, I want you to know that there is a hostility and that we're enemies of God. Outside of Christ. But in Christ, that we have been brought near. And the Lord Jesus has saved us. We have been justified, declared just as if we've never sinned. The Lord Jesus' righteousness accredited to our account. And I want you to know, when I think about that, and that's taking place at Christmas, from the beginning with the life that the Lord Jesus lived for us, and that we understand that.
Amen.
But I'm going to ask you something. Does Christmas mean more to you than family get together and maybe some ham and turkey and exchanging gifts and Christmas bonus and a party and buying and giving gifts and all that? But is Christ in you? And that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it?
Amen.
And that's why he came. And then I want to say to us, Calvary Baptist Church, we who know the Lord Jesus, we ought to take those first four verses of the Gospel of Luke and to say, listen, what we believe is most certain, and that those things we embrace and we believe, and then yet at the same time that we have a desire to pass it on to others.
Amen.
What is it that Luke had in mind? Well, to pass it on to Theophilus. A friend, what does that mean? Theo means God. Maybe you can help me, Kevin. Theophilus, a friend of God. I think that's what that name means. But that he's passing it on to him that there is that certainty. I want you to know, we don't live our lives like this. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. I want you to know, if he has saved you, he loves you.
Amen.
And that he who's loved you can never lose you.
Amen.
Because you've been bought with his price.
Amen.
We need to make that message, I want you to know, clear and plain. And what is that message that we need to make clear and plain? God with us, Emmanuel. And then Christ receiveth sinful men. How does he do that? on the basis of faith alone.
Amen.
You say, what is that faith? Faith is simply believing and reaching out, an empty hand that reaches out to the promises that are in the Scriptures.
Amen.
May the Lord so use us in a mighty way. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We bless you and thank you for the songs and the worship and the praise that we've heard this morning from our choir. Oh, what a joy. We rejoice, we bow, and we worship you. We adore you. And we eagerly look forward to what heaven's going to be like when all of the redeemed will bless and praise you. And oh, Lord, we eagerly look forward to that. In the meantime, we ask that our lives will be a reflection of your grace and that which you have taught us. That, Lord, we pray that we would pass it on and declare it to others. We thank you that you've sent your Son. We thank you for your love. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness, for your willingly coming and laying down your life for us. We know that you're on the throne and you're at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But we also know that one of these days you will come and call your church, your people to yourself. And I know that all men will appear before you. We pray, oh Lord, work in the hearts of the hearers and turn them to you and draw them with bands of love to yourself. Make them aware of the truths of the Scriptures. God and sinners reconciled. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.